Well, welcome. It's great to have you here with us today in the West venue, and all the people over in the East venue, and all the people that are online. It's so great to have you here today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And today we are wrapping up a series that we started at the beginning of January, and now we're ending it on the last day of January. And we're talking about how do we connect? How do we connect with God? And so today, as we talk about this, we're going to be talking about some different things. We're going to talk about disciple, and we're going to talk about the word Christian, and we're also going to talk about the word follower. And I'm going to tell you, they're different terms, and so we're going to be looking at that. But here's something that I want us to look at. There is a time where we have to be like a team, right? So let me give you an example. Next week will be Super Bowl. And in the Super Bowl, in any football game, what you have to do is that when the quarterback gets in there with, you know, to call the play with all of his team members, every team member needs to know what they are to do. You block that person, you run over there, they have to know. If they do not understand or do not know when they say hike, it's going to be chaos, right? Think about war, same thing. If you are going into a skirmish, all of a sudden you're going to realize, okay, everybody that's going in, you have to know what part you play in that skirmish. Now, our bands, let's take that. In the East and in the West venue today, you have to know when to play your instrument. You have to know the songs. You have to know, do I play loud or soft, and when I come in, you have to be purposeful to know when you are doing these things. And when it comes to God and us having a relationship with God, God actually calls us something different than we call ourselves. The thing that we oftentimes call ourselves is we call ourselves Christian. But I'm going to tell you, and in fact, I would encourage you to look in Scripture and in the Bible and see if God ever called us Christians. Because God never said the word Christian. The word actually that God calls us is disciples. The word that he also says is followers. Disciples, followers, is totally different than Christian. Christian could be anything you want it to believe. You know, some people will say, I'm a Christian because I go to church once in a while. I'm a Christian because I believe that there is a God. And if you're a regular C3er, one of the things we've talked about so many times in the past is that in the book of James, in the back part of the New Testament, James says, the devil and the demons believe that there's a God. Can I tell you that the devil and the demons are not Christian because they believe that there's a God? See, sometimes we fool ourselves, sometimes the enemy fools us to think that we are Christian, whatever that means. Because you take 10 different people and ask what Christian means, they're going to have 10 different answers. But Scripture says we are disciples. We are followers. That is what we are. That is who we are to be and what we are to do. This is what God wants us to do. So today, as we wrap up on how do we get to know God, we're going to look at a verse. It's a verse that I've seen many times in the Bible. I've read it over and over before. But this last week, as I'm working on the message today, this last week I realized, wait a minute, this verse has power. This verse actually tells us what we are to do. And it's not to be a Christian. It's to be a disciple or a follower. If we would just take this one verse and literally do what it says, we would become disciples. We would become followers of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be Christian, whatever that means, but would be disciples. Would be followers. We would actually literally know God. So, how do we actually become a disciple? Well, let's take a look at this verse that you've probably even seen in the Bible as well yourself. Matthew 4:19, he, meaning Jesus, said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, there are three things from this that we're going to talk about, and this is actually how we become disciples. This is actually how we become followers of Jesus Christ. But this is not how we become Christian. Because Christian can be whatever you want it to be. So let's take a look. How do we actually do this? We're going to look at three important attributes of what it means to actually be a disciple. The first one is the first two words from that verse. Follow me. You know, when Jesus says, follow me, what's interesting is he's inviting us to follow him. It's an invitation. When he was on this earth for 33 years, but at age 30, he started his earthly ministry for 3 years. He gathered 12 guys, called them disciples. Those guys weren't disciples at first. They just thought Jesus was a new rabbi, a new teacher. And over the 3 years, they're realizing this is such more than this. He is not just a teacher and a rabbi. He is the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. And all of a sudden, they went from just being a disciple of a rabbi to all of a sudden being a follower. And Jesus says, follow me. It's an invitation. And he didn't just say it to those 12. He says it to you and I as well. He says, follow me. Come, I'm inviting you to the most amazing thing in life. You can have a relationship with me. You can be a disciple, a follower, and you can be on point and have a purpose in your life. So many people in life go through life without purpose. And God says, I've got one for you. It's the best thing ever. It will change your life. See, let me give you, if you're taking notes, what you can do it on your app. Here's one of the things you can put in your notes right now is this. Boom, let's hit the button. There we go. Nope. Okay, yes, that's it. Yes, sorry. Don't go back. I like messing with the tech people. I'm so sorry. That's just kind of my weird humor. Okay. Just the definition of a disciple is someone who knows and follows him. Do you know him or do you just know about him? Because there's a big difference right there. Do you know God or do you just know about him? And if you know God, do you follow him? Whew. There's a big difference between disciple and follower and just Christian. And Christian is whatever you want it to make out. But it's more than just believing that there's a God. God wants us to be followers. God has called us to be followers. We know him and we follow him. And you know what's interesting about this? As I was working on the message this week, I thought a thought came to my mind, and it was from a movie, and it's the movie the Karate Kid, right? Not the one 10 years ago from Will Smith's kid. Now that's nothing. The 1980s version, right? 1980s version. Here's little Danielson wants to learn how to have karate, and here's what was his name? Mr. Magoo? No. Yeah, I know his name. I just like messing with you. Okay, anyway. So he gets, and then all of a sudden, instead, his mentor is going, instead of teaching him, he's going, I'm doing all of his work for him. I'm sanding the floor. I'm painting his fence. And finally, Daniel's son gets sick and tired of Mr. Miyagi. And he's going, I'm doing all your work. But look and see how all that work worked out. Take a look.
Big sucker, sand the floor. Sand the floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Ush. Show me penta fence. Up, down. Up, down. Up, down. Other side. Look, I always look, I. Show me paint the house, side, side. Knock wrist. Side, side. Side, side. Yosh. Show me wax on, wax off. That! Show me pen to fence.
Face!
Show me side to side.
Yes!
Show me sand or floor.
Face!
Why that reminded me is this, is that, and I'm probably going to guess some of you are going to understand once I say this. In my life, as a follower of Jesus Christ, there's been some hard times in my life. And I'm going to guess that probably you've had some tough times too. And what's interesting is when those tough times happen, I often say, God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen? What are you doing? It's like, I just feel like I'm doing all of your work, God. You know, wax on, wax, I'm doing the floor and everything. But over time, what I found, not 100%, but often, I find over time, sometimes it's years later, God all of a sudden shows how what happened here has built me up over here. It's helped me over time, and he's doing things like that in our life. Sometimes we have things happen that we don't want to happen in our life, and it hurts, and we grieve. But God can use that to grow us up, to help us to be able to follow him and do what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. This is Mr. Miyagi. And you and I, we're Danielson. God is teaching us through different things that sometimes are good, sometimes that are hard. But as we walk with him, we will see that God will always bring something out of it to grow us, to help us, to become, listen, to become a disciple or to come to just be Christian? No. Disciple, follower, that's what he wants from you. That's what he wants from me. Let me give you a verse here. In John 14, it says this, anyone who loves me, this is Jesus speaking, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Question, do you obey his teaching? Well, I don't know what he teaches. Read the Bible. He wrote a number one bestseller. It's a really good thing. You ought to read it sometime, right? Read the Bible. Come to church. We will talk about it. But it needs to be both and. It's not either or. Read God's word and actually apply it and come here and we will talk about it as well. If you love him, you will be teaching, you will be doing his teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Isn't that amazing? God is saying, Jesus is saying, my Father and me, we will take and we will move in with you. Oh my God, do you understand what that means? God's presence lives within us when we are a follower, when we are a disciple, but not Christian, because Christian can mean anything you want it to be. And then it goes on and says this. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Can I ask you a very tough question? Are you not following Jesus' teaching? Well, I guess I don't because I really don't know what his teaching is. I guess I'm not doing it. But then what you are saying is you don't love him. And that's your prerogative because God would love for you to come into relationship with him. But God gave us this crazy thing called free will to where we can say no to God. And God's going, okay, that's your choice. But you know what God's going to still do? God's going to still pursue you. God's going to still come after you. God's going to still just pour his love on you to be able to have you realize how much he loves you, and hopefully you will love him back as well. Interesting. You know, sometimes we think, well, man, Mark, sometimes it's just easier to be Christian because, you know, disciple, follower. I mean, it's already hard being a Christian. I don't know if I can do these other things. I mean, that's kind of hard to be a disciple or a follower. I just don't know if I can do that. To which Paul from the Old Testament says, let me testify. Because here's what happened. When Jesus died and rose again and then ascended into heaven, we come into then the next book, which is the book of Acts, and about a few chapters in, we see Paul. Paul was a guy who was starting churches, and then he would write letters to the churches to encourage them. He did not even realize at the time that what he was writing was Scripture, because a lot of his letters became books of the Bible and the New Testament. And here is a guy that did more for Christianity to help reach people than anybody else ever has since then. And here he is, he's going, you know what? It's not always pleasant being a Christian or whatever that is. It's never really pleasant to always be a disciple, to be a follower. He says, just look at me. And when you look at the story of Paul, what we see is this. Yes, he was starting churches. Yes, he was writing scripture and writing to the different churches and stuff. But the reality is this. He was often thrown in prison. He was often beaten. And history tells us that at the end of his life, he died a martyr. They killed him because of his relationship with Jesus. And so when we stand here, we sit here and we're going, you know, it's hard to be a Christian, even though I don't like the term Christian now because Mark said that's a bad word. So we're going to call it disciple and be a follower. It's hard to follow God. To which I just picture Paul looking over the edge of heaven going, let me tell you how hard it is. But can I just remind us of something? This world, this time that we are on this planet is not the real thing. This is, remember, temporary. This is not eternity. This isn't where we're going to be forever and ever. We're here for a few years and then we go one way or the other. That is what this is about. We are looking to eternity. That is what we do as followers and disciples. We look towards eternity and realize that we have a purpose in this life now with God. Wow, Mark, that's hard. This is kind of tough. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to go to church once in a while, come at Christmas, come at Easter, maybe to a funeral or two. I mean, those are the things I want to do. I believe there's a God. Yeah, that's fine. But I don't want to be a follower. I don't want to be a disciple. I just want to be Christian, whatever that means to me. And look in Scripture. You will never see the word Christian from God and from Jesus. It's always follower. It's always disciple. So which one are you? In fact, let me give you another verse. Here, let's take this. What's the verse? Is this Matthew? Matthew says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, hold it here for just a second. We must deny ourselves. We do not like denying ourselves. But we deny ourselves. Why? Because God is first. He is leading. He says, follow me, which means Jesus is the leader. We're not the leader. We would love for him to actually follow us, but that's not the way it works. He's the leader, so we follow him. So we must deny certain things of ourselves that we would rather like to do. We have to give it up for God and take up his cross. Now, remember, what is a cross? A cross was what Jesus died on. It's a symbol of death. For you and I, there's things in our life that we need to kill. There are things in our life that we need to get rid of. Sometimes it's addictions. Sometimes it's attitudes. Sometimes it's other people. I mean, what you got to sometimes get rid of some of those things. Take up his cross and follow me, he says. If you want to follow me, you have to do these two things. But for some reason, we think, just because I believe in God, I'm a Christian. That's all I need. And I'm going to tell you, there is a scripture that talks about the end times. And how when Jesus comes back, he's going to say, okay, those that are my followers are on this side, those who aren't over here. And there's going to be a bunch of people over here that aren't his followers going, wait a minute, look at all the good things we did for you. And Jesus goes, but I did not know you. You didn't know me. Oh, you knew about me, right? Okay, let's just talk about it for a second. Biden's the president right now. Whether you voted for him or not does not matter. I know him because I've seen him on TV. But if I were to fly over there right now and I were to go up to the White House and knock on the door and say, "Hey, I want to see President Biden," they're going to say, "Who in the world are you?" I know about him, but I don't know him, and I'm not able to get in. You see, this is the same thing. We need to know him. If we know him, then we deny ourselves and we take up our cross and we actually follow him. That's not Christian. Oh, no. That's follower. That's disciple. That's what God's calling us to be. Is that you? Be honest. Don't raise a hand, but on yourself. Listen. Inside, answer that for yourself. Are you a follower? Are you a disciple? Or are you just simply, I don't know, just a Christian, whatever that means? Follow me, he says. So, the first attribute that we're going to put down in our notes is that a disciple of a head level. It's at a head level. In our head level, we realize he is in charge, not me. He is the leader, not me. He's the leader, I'm the follower. That's a kind of a head knowledge. That's the first part. That's follow me. Then the second part of that verse that we talked about, follow me, then it goes on to this, and we can skip all that. Let's go to number two. There we go. And I will make you. And I will make you. Now, what does that mean? When Jesus is saying, follow me and I will make you, that is telling us that he wants to make a change in our life. He wants to take us as we are and he wants to improve us and help us and make us better. He wants to make changes in our life. Can I ask you a question? If you call yourself a Christian, whatever that means to you, since you become a Christian, has anything changed in your life? Is everything the same as it was before? Because if it's basically the same as it was before, God is going, then you're just a Christian, and that doesn't mean anything. But if you're a disciple, if you're a follower, I'm going to do an overhaul. There's going to be so many changes in your life. It's not going to be all at once. It's going to be over time, but there's going to be so many changes. You're going to go, wow, this is where I was. This is where I am now. God has changed a whole bunch in me. But if you look back on your life and you call yourself a Christian and you're going, well, I'm basically almost the same as I was before, can I tell you you're just a Christian then? And that word is not in Scripture. It's disciple. That's what we're looking for. It's a personal relationship and knowing him. See, he wants to bring a change into your life. That's the next thing for your notes. He wants to also, a disciple of Jesus is changed by Jesus. It's changed by Jesus. Jesus is the one who changes you and I in our life to take away the garbage, the sin, the things, and help us to be on point, on purpose for what he wants you and I to do. Let me give you another verse. This is 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, here's what it says. And we are being transformed into his likeness. We are being transformed into Jesus' likeness. With ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we are being transformed into his likeness, and he's the one that is doing it for us. Have you seen, since you've come to know Jesus in any way, shape, or form, have you seen that you are transformed, that there's a change, there's something different about your life than it was at the beginning? Or are you pretty much the same as you were before? You just now believe that there's a God and you come to church once in a while. Why am I talking today about this? Because again, that scripture and the end times where those followers will be on this side and those who aren't over here, but a whole bunch of these people over here are thinking that they are followers. And they're saying, but wait a minute. We did all this. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Which means these people over here never knew him. And God forbid, I do not want any of you right now online or in our venues. I do not want any of you to be on the left side. Because that is going to be a very shocking day. And God is telling us already what we need to be. And it's not Christian. It's disciple. It's follower. That's what he calls us to be. Are we doing that? If not, why? Why aren't we doing that? You see, it's interesting. Let's be honest. Even Jesus' disciples struggled with this. And this is when they knew that he was the Savior. All of a sudden, there's one time when Jesus, in his 3 years of earthly ministry, he's right towards the end of his 3 years of earthly ministry. And he knows he's going to the cross. He knows it's going to happen. And so he's walking with his disciples, and he says to him, he goes, I'm going to die. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm going to die. And you would think that the disciples, right? You would think that the disciples would go, hey, that's terrible. What can we do? We don't want this to happen. You know what they said? Jesus just tells them, I'm going to die soon. And the next thing you read is two of his disciples go, hey, Jesus, hey, when you come into your kingdom, can me and my brother kind of sit on either side of you? It's like, you know, like you're the king. You're the God. You're the king. And we're like your second in command right next. It's like the three amigos. It's just awesome. It's going to be great. They didn't stop and go, what are you talking about? You're going to die. Why are you going to die? How are you going to die? When are you going to die? Instead, they're going, hey, we want to be right there in the power seat with you. And I could just picture Jesus going, oh my gosh, I mean, three years I've wasted with these guys. Oh my goodness. So we don't get it right all the time, just like those guys. But we learn from those lessons. And we grow and we mature and we go from Christian, whatever that means, and we begin to become disciples. We begin to become followers and have a purpose for being on this planet at this time. You see, let me give you a verse. It's in John. In John it says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and then goes on and says this, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, I don't know if you've ever worked in an orchard, but when I was a teenager, I did. And I would drive tractor and pick up the fruit and all that stuff, and then sometimes I would actually help pruning the trees. Sometimes you have to prune things off of trees so that you can have better fruit and more fruit. And when that happens, it's actually a good thing. In our life, this verse is talking about, God will prune things off of us. Does it hurt the tree? I would think so. If it could scream, it'd go, ah! I mean, right? Because you just take off a branch, it's probably going to hurt. It's like somebody taking off your pinky. And so it hurts when something probably gets pruned. But God knows what things to prune off of us that were holding us down, that were making us just Christian, whatever that means. And as he takes off, he prunes these things off of our lives. Sometimes it's addictions and, again, issues, different types of things. He prunes them off. All of a sudden, we see over time, we're seeing more fruit in our life. And all of a sudden, that's helping us to become disciples, followers, but not Christian anymore. See, this is how God works in our life. But so often, we don't want that. We don't want the pruning. I just want to be Christian. I just want to believe that there's a God and just do whatever I want. And God's going, you can do that because I've given you free will. But the reality is you're going to be standing on the left side of me at the end times. And I'm going to say to you, and my heart will break when I say it, depart from me. Why? Because I never knew you. And you never knew me. You knew about me, but you don't know me. You see, there's a difference there. And it's weaved through the whole scripture, and for somehow we've missed it. And now we're seeing it, we're going, oh my goodness, I gotta do something, I gotta change. What am I going to do? Great question. Let's go to number three. Number three is this. Now let's get rid of that one. There we go. Number three is this. Fishers of men. That's the last part of that verse. Follow me. That's an invitation. Follow me, he says, and I will change. I will make you. I'll do a change in your life. What's the change? What are you going to make me do? Become fishers of men. Become fishers of people. This is the purpose. This is the purpose that we have. If you are on this planet and you're going, I don't know why God left me here. I don't know why I'm on this planet. I don't have a purpose. Can I tell you, this is your purpose. This is all of our purpose. This is what God has called you and I to do. A disciple, here's something for your notes, a disciple of Jesus is saved for a purpose. And the purpose is to be fishers of people. When Jesus was starting his earthly ministry, he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and there's these two guys, Peter and Andrew. They were brothers, and they were fishermen. And Jesus saw them out there in the boat. They're using nets to get fish. Jesus then, when they came on the shore, Jesus goes up to them and says, hey, I'm going to make you guys fishers of men. And they're like, what in the world does that mean? But in the next 3 years, they found out. They had a purpose. Can I tell you, that same purpose that Jesus had for his 12 disciples, he has for you and me. And he never called them Christian. He called them followers. He called them disciples. And that's what he wants for us, so that we would be disciples. We would be followers, not Christian, whatever that means. And we would be on point. We would be doing what he's called us to do, to be fishers of people. You know what that means? Let me tell you what that means. That means that when you work at Hanford, you don't just work there. You are bringing Jesus to people at Hanford. You are sharing at lunch or whatever, talking to them about, you know, your relationship with God. What a relationship with God even talks about. You know, and it's not weird. You're not like pushing it down their throat like some of those weirdos do, right? I mean, but the reality is, you know, you're just talking and sharing from your own life what's happened with you. Because everybody's always going, man, I feel like I'm missing something in my life. I don't know what to do. And we have the answer. It's like the old saying, you know, if you had the cure for cancer, would you hide it? No, you would show it to everybody because this could help everybody. But yet we have literally the answer for life, and we hide it. Why? Because we're Christian, whatever that means. But we're not disciples. We're not followers. See, there's a problem there. God wants us to have a purpose. God wants that purpose to be that we are fishers of men, that we're fishers of people, to help people come into relationship with God. Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? Teaming up with God? The most important thing ever. And we think, going to school, working at the mall, working at Hanford is the best thing because that's where I get my money. That's where you earn your degree. That's where you get your money. But that's not your purpose. Your purpose is why you are there. It's those people around you. People. Students, you're in school. You're a student to get an education, but you're also there for another purpose. You're to make friends and share with them a relationship with God. That is what we are all called to do. Not as Christians, no. What does that mean? But as disciples, as followers. That is what we are to do. In fact, let me just tell you. Parents, that's what we are to do. We are to be fishers of men. We're to be fishers of people. But I'm going to tell you where it starts, parents, in your home. Husbands, you make sure that your wife knows the Lord. You make sure your kids know the Lord. Wives, you know, make sure that your kids know the Lord and your husband knows the Lord. You make sure that they understand. You're like, well, I'm doing it, Mark. I've got my kids right now over in the kids area for an hour, and then on Wednesday nights we have the youth over here for an hour, so they're covered. No, they're not. We have your kids for like 1 hour a week. You have them for all the other hours. And when you look in Scripture, the first thing that God created in Genesis was a family. And then later on, in the New Testament, the church. So you, as the parents, are to raise your kids in the way of the Lord. The church just comes alongside to help. But sometimes we just vacate and say, the church can just do it all. But it's a two-pronged approach. You are doing it in the home with your kids, and we come alongside to encourage and help as well. This will help raise up our kids. This is what we need. We need families that actually care if their kids are growing up to know the Lord. We need families that actually are saying, even though we struggle, we're not going to divorce. We're going to go get help. We're going to go see somebody, counselor, whatever. We're going to make it through because God is on our side and we have resources that can help. We need to start fighting for our family instead of fighting against it. But for some reason, we just throw up the red flag and say, we're done. And yet, at some point in the past, you guys were in a great relationship, which is why you got married in the first place. And somewhere along the line, things have changed and you've forgotten why you loved each other. That can be rekindled. God can help you. Our counselors can help you. We can have resources for this. But for some reason, we just want to pull the plug and get out. And I'm going to tell you, that is not the heart of God. This is a hard topic today. That is not the heart of God, to give up. Why? Because you know what? We are to be like God, and God will never give up on you. Right? He will never give up on you. You can say, I don't want you, God, but God's going to pursue you. He's still going to love you. He's still going to try to woo you back. God will never give up to you. So one of the questions people ask is, Mark, why is it every week that you always end with like a salvation prayer? Because I want to be on mission with God. Because I don't know if somebody is only here for one time. They're just passing through. They just come one time and they'll never come again. Or maybe it's a regular person that comes and that next week they may get in a car wreck or die of something else. I want to make sure every time we gather together, people have an understanding that they have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not to be Christian, but to be disciple, to be a follower. And that's what we're going to do in a little bit. We're going to pray for those at home, those in the venues. And we're going to stop and we're going to say, am I just Christian if I'm even that? Or do I need to start becoming a disciple and a follower? So let me give you a few things here as we close up. So here's the first things, some notes here. Hello? Hello? Hit the button. I'm not going to hit the button. Okay, fine. There we go. A disciple is a person who, now here's the things it is. Is it following Christ? That's the head, right? We talked about that. Is following Christ, that's the head. The second one is being changed by Christ, that's the heart. And then the third thing is this, is committed to the mission of Christ. That's our hands. That's we do something different. We put our hand to the plow, and we're part of the mission of what God has for us. That's what it is. See, if we engage our head, our heart, and our hands, we're not going to be Christian. We're going to be disciples. We're going to be followers of God. Let me give you an example. I'll end with this. Last night I got an email from a lady that was driving by Target up over here in Queensgate, and she said, we're new to the area, and we're thinking about attending C3 because we heard good things about it, and we were planning to come, but we saw some of your people on the corner, and they were protesting, and they had these signs where they were just saying God-awful things on these signs, and then they also had signs that said C3. And she says, so I'm sorry that your church is doing that, and we will not be checking your church out to see if that'd be our church. And I immediately responded back, and I said, thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. That is not a C3 thing that we are doing. That is either somebody, just maybe a person or so from the church, or somebody that's even outside of the church that's just trying to stir up problems and issues. I mean, good Lord, it's all over the world right now anyway. Everybody else is just fighting about everything. And so it's just, they're just trying to cause division. And so I thanked her, and she responded right back, and she says, oh, I am so glad to hear that you guys did not do that. And so we talked about that. She said that she'll be on this online stream right now and come at some point when they can. And I just thought, you know, that's amazing. So here's how God works. We have what we call a safety team here. You may not even realize we have a safety team here. But we have a safety team here in the church. And the leader of our safety team just happened to be driving by that area yesterday and saw the signs and the ones that say C3 and all the horrible things that they were trying to protest and trying to stir up problems. And he took pictures of them and the signs. And he knows one of the people that was there. So this afternoon, this gentleman is going to get a phone call from him. And we're going to just let him know that this is not what disciples and followers do. Christians maybe, but not followers and disciples. And let him know that we know who he is. If you want to protest, you protest all you want. But you put your name on the sign. You don't put on another church's name or something. That is a lie. And Scripture talks about what? That it's from the father of lies. That's Satan. So if you call yourself a Christian, but you're actually lying, you're actually not a follower of Christ. You're actually a follower of the devil. Right? So this is what is going to happen this afternoon. And this is happen all over our country, our world, because right now the enemy is pitting people together and just trying to cart division and fighting with insight in marriages, in countries, in states, in churches. But we, if we are disciples, we are followers, here's what's going to happen. We will not fight amongst each other because we are the body of Christ. We come together. That's what we do when we're disciples. When we're followers. But a lot of times people fight when they're just Christians. Let's pray. Father, right now we wrap up our time. And Lord, this I know was a tough topic. And it was tough for some people to hear right now that maybe they're just Christians but not disciples, not followers. And Lord, I just pray right now that each and everyone online and each of the venues right now as we pause, we examine ourselves. Not other people, not our spouse, not our kids, not our parents. We examine ourselves. And Lord, we ask ourselves, am I a disciple, am I a follower, or am I just a Christian? And Father, if they land on that just Christian side, God, I pray that you would help them to understand that is not what you've called us to be. You've called us to be a disciple and a follower. So Lord, as we look at ourselves and we see that maybe we haven't changed much since we came to know about you, we right now confess our sins to you, and we ask you to forgive us, and we now say that you are our leader. We follow you, and you have the right to change my heart and my life. You can change anything, and you have the right to give me this purpose to actually reach other people. Dear God, thank you. Would you help us to become disciples and be followers and not Christian? And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing and the lives that are being changed right now. And we celebrate that because you are a good, good God. In your amazing name, we pray. Amen.